Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy.
So you can protect stuff like this.
Or this.
Or even this.
Nope. Case in point.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The T-Biz podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea.
Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Devastating monsoon mudslides have killed hundreds of Indian tea workers. Kenya estimates 20 million kilos of last year's harvest remains unsold, and Traditional Medicinals names a new CEO. Plus, Brown's Plantations aspiring to be both biggest and best. The executive chairman of Brown's Plantation, soon to be the world's largest single company producer of black tea, joins the Tea Biz podcast to discuss the challenge of large-scale quality improvements at massive gardens on two continents. Pradeep Ulavaji currently oversees three leading plantation companies that manage 49 tea gardens in Sri Lanka as a single brand. The parent company's acquisitions of Lipton Tea and Infusions plantations in Kenya, Rwanda, and Tanzania, as well as James Finley Kenya Estates in 2023, will expand Brown's production capabilities to 87 million kilograms annual. Terms of the sale, which is expected to close soon, call for Brown's to supply Lipton with most of its tea. Lipton's chief executive officer, Nathalie Roos, announced the sale, saying, quote, "We are really shifting from volume to quality of tea," end quote. Supplying quality tea at scale is a challenge Brown's Plantations readily accepts. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
The death toll continues to rise following devastating mudslides in Kerala, India, that swept away tea workers and their families. Arvinda Ananthiraman reports.
We have been following up on the Wayanad rescue. As of Thursday evening, the death toll stood at 295, and the worst affected are the Mundakaya and Churalmala villages. The BBC reported that 1,600 people have been affected by the landslides from these villages and tea estates. 82 relief camps have been set up and 8,000 people have been moved there. Relief operations continue. The army has been called in to help.
Kenya officials are demanding the Tea Board of Kenya and the Kenya Tea Development Agency provide a full accounting of tea harvested in 2023 that remains unsold, filling Mombasa warehouses and incurring high storage charges. Kenya is experiencing a strong export surge, up 19% compared to 2023. The surplus is interfering with sales from an additional 95.2 million kilos of fresh tea, which could delay payments to farmers. In a letter sent to both organizations, Prime Cabinet Secretary Musalia Mudavadi called for a lasting solution to stabilize output impacting auction prices. In his letter, Mudavadi asked for a, quote, Shelf life of the unsold tea, space occupied, stocks of unsold tea currently being held in Mombasa, the names of lessors of the warehouses, and who will ultimately bear the cost of warehousing, end quote. He also demanded information regarding KTDA's indebtedness to the farmers, broken down by factory as of 30 June 2024. Quote, the accumulation of unsold tea hampers producers' ability to pay farmers on time, significantly affecting their income. The situation has resulted in accumulation of unsold teas at the auction, severely impacting prices and causing a market glut, end quote, he said. In 2022, to combat declining tea prices at the Mombasa auction, the government established a minimum reserve price of $2.60 per kilo for teas grown east of the Rift Valley and $2.40 per kilo for teas from west of the Rift. International buyers refused to pay the threshold, which led to a KTDA surplus. Only 30 to 40% of teas on offer were purchased at one point. The unsold tea was returned to warehouses that quickly filled as new teas arrived. According to the Tea Board, first quarter tea exports rose to 155.8 million kilos, up from 131 million kilos posted in January through March of 2023. Pakistan remains the top destination for Kenyan tea, importing 50.8 million kilos in the first quarter, up from 39.3 million kilos recorded during the same period in 2023. Chad emerged as a key market, recording a consistent increase in exports from Kenya. Other buyers include Britain, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. Kenya's total tea export volume rose from 450 million kilos in 2022 to 523 million kilos in 2023, generating a record 189 billion shillings, equal to about $1.46 billion in U.S. foreign exchange dollars, revenue second only to tourism, according to the Kenya Economic Survey of 2024. California-based Traditional Medicinals announced Joe Stanziano as the company's new CEO. Drake Sadler, TM co-founder and chairman, announced that Stanziano, a 27-year veteran of the JM Smucker Company, will lead the 50-year-old certified B Corp. Quote, his spirit of innovation, strategic growth mindset, and dedication to transparency, accessibility, and authenticity in leadership align seamlessly with our purpose-focused organization as we look towards the next 50 years at Traditional Medicinals. Stanziano led manufacturing, marketing, operations, research and development, and the supply chain for several brands. During his tenure overseeing the largest business division, Smucker's revenue at the Fortune 500 company grew from $500 million to $10 billion. Having worked in various sectors, including coffee, peanut butter, and consumer goods, Stanziano most recently served as senior vice president and general manager of the coffee division for 6 years, including well-known brands like Smucker's, Dunkin, Jif, Pillsbury, and more. He serves on the board of directors at Ocean Mist Farms Fresh Produce and has previously served on local nonprofit boards supporting his community. Quote, I'm honored to be joining the incredible team at Traditional Medicinals, said Stanziano. I've been inspired by the products, people, and philosophy of this company, and I am grateful for the opportunity to continue supporting its impressive legacy. I look forward to maintaining a culture of collaboration, building meaningful long-term relationships, and leading with an authenticity that mirrors the core pillars of Traditional Medicinals, end quote. Stanziano will relocate from Ohio to TM's headquarters in Roanoke Park in the periphery of the San Francisco Bay. Founded in 1974, Traditional Medicinals is rooted in herbal medicine, which includes ethical sourcing and production and rigorous attention to purity, quality, and sustainability standards. The company offers more than 60 teas, lozenges, and capsules, especially formulated by herbalists. Next, Arvinda and Antheraman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 2nd August 2024. Kangra reports the poor season so far. Kangra, which is in Himachal Pradesh in North India, has reported a poor season this year. Once renowned for their green tea, the region has fought to rebuild its tea industry. But this year, climate change has been a particular challenge, with dry weather and no rain, and production dropped by about 20%. There's no warehouse here, and tea has to be transported to Kolkata, where it's sold via auctions. But Kolkata auctions have seen poor demand from the export market, and all of these together have brought low prices, about a 50% drop from last year for Kangra's teas. Farmers are asking for greater state government support, warehousing facilities in the region, and more avenues to sell tea in the state, which also houses the famous Golden Temple at Amritsar. And lastly, the Tea Board has announced the last dates for plucking for tea gardens in North India, which covers Darjeeling, Duars, Terai, Sikkim, Assam, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, and Bihar. The date is set at 30th November, and the last date for processing green leaf is set at 2nd December.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
The executive chairman of Brown's Plantation, soon to be the world's largest single company producer of black tea, joins the Tea Biz podcast to discuss the challenge of large-scale quality improvements at massive gardens on two continents. Pradeep Ulavaji currently oversees three leading plantation companies that manage 49 tea gardens in Sri Lanka as a single brand. The parent company's acquisitions of Lipton Tea and Infusions plantations in Kenya, Rwanda, and Tanzania, as well as James Finley Kenya Estates in 2023, will expand Brown's production capabilities to 87 million kilograms annual. Terms of the sale, which is expected to close soon, call for Brown's to supply Lipton with most of its tea. Lipton's chief executive officer, Nathalie Roos, announced the sale, saying, quote, "We are really shifting from volume to quality of tea," end quote. Supplying quality tea at scale is a challenge Brown's Plantations readily accepts. Brown and Company is one of Sri Lanka's oldest diversified conglomerates. At the close of the sale, Brown's Plantations' 32,725 hectares under tea will increase to 220,000 acres, about 89,000 hectares worldwide. In May 2023, Brown's acquired 10 of James Finley's tea estates, spanning 10,300 hectares. The latest acquisition adds 11 more Kenyan tea plantations, 8 tea factories in western Kenya, and all of Lipton's Rwanda and Tanzania tea estates. Quote, "Brown's is the perfect partner to work with us to raise standards in the whole tea industry together. We are setting a new precedent for transforming the global tea market," end quote, said Roos. Brown's has 2 years to meet Lipton's environmental, social, and governance standards. Pradeep was named executive chairman in November 2021. He earned a doctorate in management and business studies from the University of Colombo and holds a law degree. He has more than 20 years of experience in human resource management, human resource development, and legal and corporate affairs. To begin our conversation, will you share your thoughts on improving tea quality at an unprecedented scale?
Of course, The tea market has grown, if you take the statistics, the last 10 to 15 years, the consumption has gone up. Of course, the potential producers, they would have seen that as an opportunity to get into the market. And unfortunately, the supply has surpassed the demand, which has come to a sort of a standstill in certain markets, if you take Kenya as an example. So they are producing much more than the anticipated quantities. So then, of course, the price is going to play a bigger role in, okay, now, of course, in terms of quality, still Sri Lankan teas are getting far better prices because of the taste of Ceylon tea. But in Kenya, the COP was the main thing that they had to market. They are producing their tea at a much lower price compared to traditional markets like Sri Lanka. What has happened to the Sri Lankan market is they had to compete with the newly emerging markets like Kenya, and they were looking at various methods to keep their the cost of production low. So as a result, there were certain compromises that they had made on the quality. So the industry has got so commercialized, right? Commercializing is fine, but to the extent of compromising with the quality to keep their market share. I think even in Kenya, of course, to keep their COP low, they had to introduce mechanization and various other automation, which has resulted in a drastic drop in their quality. On the other hand, without automation, if you look at the massive fields, of course, you can't rely on the manual labor. You have to do the mechanization. But with the mechanization, I don't know. What I believe is we have not paid enough attention to the quality element. If you take other industries, there have been so many innovation and creativity crept into the system. But unfortunately, in the tea industry, I don't know whether we have invested enough for R&D and various kind of innovation that we can bring in. Now, if you take the Sri Lankan industry, the manufacturing method has hardly changed. If you look at the 150-year-old history, we can't find any alternate producing methods to keep the quality high. And what are the other alternatives that we can bring into the whole thinking pattern is something I think is missing.
What are the main strategies to ensure quality from your vantage?
One is definitely weather conditions, right, and the soil conditions. And one thing that we have realized, if you take Kenya as an example, in our former Finlay's plantations, we have about 650 hectares of organic tea. When you try that tea, you feel the difference. There's a nice taste. But unfortunately, whether the end buyer is willing to pay that premium price is a problem. Of course, if you take the productivity, YPH, we average, we make about 4,500 made tea per hectare. In our, the overall figure is that, 4,500. But when it comes to organic tea, it comes down to 2,500.
Consumers will pay a 15 to 20% premium for certified organic products, not 50%. Browns is no longer a single origin tea supplier. You're now producing multiple teas from several different tea growing regions, mainly for blending. The Kenya farms are troubling just now as they consistently harvest larger and larger quantities, leading to a surplus that some estimate as high as 20 million kilos. The fundamental choice then is quality over quantity. Are you willing as a company to make that choice to reduce the surplus?
Yeah, actually, that is the way forward. Even as a company, a couple of months back, when I was in Kenya, we had multiple discussions with our management team, how to bring down the volume and focus on the quality. The one thing is because of the higher prices for Ceylon tea, Now, some of the traditional Sri Lankan tea buyers are now making queries whether they can buy quality Kenyan tea at a cheaper price, right? So the biggest concern they have is the quality of the Kenyan tea. I think mechanization has like brought in, as I mentioned earlier, numerous benefits for the whole system, but the biggest issue is the quality element. In fact, now we are using some of the Japanese machines, the harvesters. we had a couple of discussions with those producers to improve it further to see how we can maintain the consistency of the quality of the leaf that we harvest through the system. They're quite optimistic.
During the riots last year, Kenyan workers sabotaged mechanical harvesters. Has that resistance quieted?
Not everywhere. Like wherever that you can bring in automation, I think especially in the Kenya, as an example, they have massive fields. There are areas that you need to mechanize. Right? But there are certain key areas where the human intervention is required. Like as an example, the field practices, no matter how much you deploy machinery, ultimately the human intervention is one of the critical factors in the whole system. The other important thing is the mechanization, of course, to a level of not compromising that with the quality, as we discussed earlier. And apart from that, how you can bring in R&D element into the picture. So if you take Kenya as an example, we have a super research and development team. They continuously do research on the quality element, new cultivars, the new type of products. So likewise, I think you can't have an extreme kind of viewpoint on the automation.
The Sri Lankan government recently mandated a significant wage increase for laborers, partly to help overcome punishing inflation levels. Planners complained that the additional expense would make exports less competitive and that the increased wages are not linked to improved productivity.
I don't know, Dan, whether you are aware of our revenue share model. So what happens is now in traditionally, especially in Sri Lanka, this particular industry is politically sensitive, because there are like the trade unions which are closely connected with the government, and they obviously pressurize government to increase wages, which has to happen over a period of time, because of like even for those people they need to maintain a minimum standard of living. What has happened is, even though the wage has kept on hiking, the productivity element has completely forgotten. That has been the biggest issue. Now, a couple of years back, we came up with the revenue share model where we wanted all these workers to become entrepreneurs on themselves. They were given small plots like 1 hectare, some half a hectare, some 1.5 hectare. And they were supposed to look after those bushes. We give them ingredients and we purchase their leaf. And now we have brought in a quality element as well. So there should be 65 to 70% of quality that they need to maintain. What has happened is, now even though the daily wage is 1,000 rupees, now that has gone up to 1,350 rupees, some people like, okay, the maximum potential is to earn about 30,000. But there are certain people, they are earning about 100,000, 150,000 per month. Now, they don't want it. Now, only thing what has happened is, now when they move out from the formal employment, they don't want to become a member of the trade union. Now, those trade union guys, they are a little worried because they don't get the subscription. To be very frank, they have not done anything to improve their life standard. But now these people, they don't want to become a traditional worker, but they want to, only thing, sometimes they have entire family works. There are multiple things that we have introduced. We have a recognized program, the best revenue share owner. They're being recognized, they're being rewarded. And sometimes we get them and we impart them with technical knowledge, mm-hmm. how to improve their productivity, all those trainings, everything is done. And monthly, we select the best revenue firm, that just to encourage the others. And now that, like, all this time, it was It was like 25% of the people, they got over and above the average wage. But now that figure is gradually increasing, which is a very good sign. So so this is one of the methods that they use in the field to check the quality. So they have this canvas, they have like put different kind of types, and they get a sample from the harvester, and they just spread it out.
Your plan depends on a certain amount of Kenyan and other African teas coming to Sri Lanka, right? How much are you bringing in?
We have no intention of getting to the shelf. Like, we want to remain as the mass producer. Currently, there are multiple queries that we have got from our Sri Lankan buyers. Currently, they are bringing in, I think, quite a significant amount of Kenyan tea to Sri Lanka. Now, they have approached us and asked us whether they can have some kind of understanding. Of course, we are willing to work with them. Currently, they are like some of the large buyers. They are bringing 50, 60 containers per annum. The Kenyan tea, purely for blending purposes. Of course, as a producer, we don't have any intention of bringing Kenyan tea and do blending in Sri Lanka. For Kenyan tea, we need to look at a couple of partnerships with Sri Lankan buyers who are currently getting quite a significant number of Kenyan tea to Sri Lanka. So we are discussing with them, and we can provide them the required quantities. Time to come.
Recently, the head of the Supreme Court in Kenya authorized a 3-judge panel to hear an appeal that could potentially upend the sale of the Lipton properties by recognizing land rights for local tribes. Will you share your thoughts on that development?
I think now, even the regulators, they have cleared the deal. So everything was quite transparent, and the discussions were done with all the relevant parties. Even the community leaders were met. I think there are certain segments who had certain ulterior motives that they want to accomplish through the deal. They failed, and I think that there's a small fraction. Actually, we know there are certain individuals who are little keen to take the ownership of the property, but they couldn't materialize it. I think that's the whole thing. Of course, they have all the rights to get into the judicial process and lobby their case. But we are quite optimistic that this is going to go ahead.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.